And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a Quebec pizza.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
La-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 113 for March 5th, 2015. Old School at the Movies, brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Trending Mobile Technology, Cerebral Satire, and All Wine Aside. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before you get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. Without further ado, let's get into our panel this week. Episode 88 in a row, Mr. Heavyset.
Countdown to 100 is on.
We've got...
Cock Talk.
Or not.
I just wasn't answering to that. That's not my name, Old School.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a...
Cock Talk.
Respect the cock.
So mean. You know, you say it once.
I didn't get the full name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, great. Okay. Anyways, glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. We have Kebo Trek.
I am not the one in 21-1.
We've got Carp.
Howdy.
And breaking your cherry, popping your cherry, hopefully not breaking it. The first...
Was it 50 Shades of Grey already?
50 Shades of Grey, Old School Edition. The first American female ever on Old School at the Movies, Katie, the First Lady.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining like 3 seconds before it started. That was awesome.
No, talk about the last minute.
There we go. Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Heavyset, what do you got for this week?
I never got the outline to post in what my news article was. And it's not from IGN. It, if you want to look it up, it has something to do with Wolverine or Hugh Jackman saying how he wants Wolverine and X-Men to be a part of the Avengers, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I'm Alexis Kazambalidis with IGN News. You've surely heard by now the amazing news that Sony Pictures and Marvel Studios have struck a deal to essentially share the character of Spider-Man on the big screen. And now another Marvel superstar, Wolverine himself, Hugh Jackman, is talking about the situation. While talking to Geek.com this morning, Jackman offered his thoughts on whether or not Wolverine could wind up in the MCU movies eventually as well. The sideburned one said, "There's so many forces at play there, man, beyond what anyone would want. The thing I've always loved about the comic book world is how the fun thing was, how a writer of a comic book could just pull all these characters together, and what became a Friday night discussion of it would be cool to see Batman fight Wolverine, and bang, Monday morning they're working on it, you know? But there's an idealized world." Jackman has been pretty open in the past about how he'd love to see Wolverine meet up with the Avengers and the other MCU heroes. And judging by his carefully chosen words here, it seems he still feels that way. Of course, the difference between Sony's struggling Spider-Man series and Fox's X-Men films is that X-Men is currently riding high thanks to the success of Days of Future Past. But still, how awesome would it be for Wolverine and the X-Men to appear side-by-side with Spidey, Iron Man, Cap, Hulk, and the rest on the big screen at some point? If this Spider-Man situation has taught us anything, it's to not rule anything out when it comes to the MCU.
Thank you very much, IGN. Heavy set. I mean, you know, never say never. We've seen that with Spider-Man. I never thought that would happen, that Sony would actually make a deal with Marvel. So it's not impossible, but the one thing that's going to hinder it is actually the success of Fox with this property. So I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I would like to see it happen. Am I correct in assuming this? Let's get your thoughts.
I don't think it's going to happen ever. X-Men would have to die. We would have had to have this conversation after X3. Maybe we would have seen that happen, but the way I look at it, Fox and X-Men have been partners for such a long time that had a lot of success with it. It's the only reason why I don't see it them actually letting it go for that. Granted, it's kind of like what they said, the Spider-Man series, the first two everybody likes. The third one was not a lot of people liked. And then these new ones are so-so on fans. So, yeah, the Sony is going to be like, all right, is there something that we can work out so we can be a part of this awesome money-making universe? It's going to take Fox to just be comic book nerds, to be or geeks or anything, to say, you know what? We don't want to do this exactly for the money. Let's work something out just so we can put out a best product. But really, in Hollywood, that's not what people care about. Its bottom line is always money.
Agreed. And you know what? The one thing you forgot to mention is I think it's going to take one shitty movie. It's going to take one or two really bad movies, either horribly written or just that do not do well at the box office. And then Fox might rethink it. I mean, it's money talks, right? So if there's anything that can rehash a franchise or a product, it's combining. We've seen that in wrestling and everything else. So Spider-Man's going to get a rejuvenation because of it. What if the X-Men become less relevant in 10 years? I think it's possible. I'm going to throw that to the floor. Actually, we'll start with our newest member. Katie, are you into the X-Men at all, or this whole Marvel Universe comic books?
Well, I'm not a big reader, but I am familiar. I've seen the movies. I mean, the fan in me would love to see an Avengers X-Men movie. I think it would be sort of like the holy grail of comic book nerds all over. But I don't know. Who's to say what'll happen? I've heard in interviews that Hugh Jackman will put his own money into it if he wants it to be possible. But I would love to see it happen. I mean, who knows when or if it will, honestly.
Yeah, definitely not short term. We'll throw it to the panel if anybody else want to discuss, or we'll move on.
I'd love to. Actually don't think that, I mean, any deal could be struck. At the end of Amazing Spider-Man, the second one, there was an X-Men ad. You know, there was like a few seconds of footage of X-Men instead of us getting like the usual after credits scene. And that's because there was a deal between them made over something else. I forget the details. Point is that you said money talks. It could be that they could do a cross. It could be cross marketing. So if you have, for example, Wolverine shows up in an Avengers film, that could be a marketing for a future X-Men film as well. So they could play off each other, off their popularity.
You think a possible swapping of characters can happen?
No. I mean, okay, you remember Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Okay, the people worked out enough money so that you would have both Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny on the same screen.
So it's not unheard of.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, it's not like, do you have to go like, oh, it has to be, you know, they have to be like really desperate to do it. No. They could just, for the fun of it, or like, you know, being very cynical, for the money, and for a lot of money, have Wolverine or anybody else appear there. And oh, you're right. And then in return, you could have maybe Spider-Man show up in some
say, yeah, trade.
Okay, you're like, right. Yeah, sorry, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Superhero exactly. Trade or something.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's happened before a few times. It's happened on television too. So yeah, I definitely don't think of it. I don't think that Marvel would own the X-Men for movies in the near future. That I don't see happening. But a crossover, I would not put that out of the equation.
All right, Cart, let's throw it to you. What do you got for us this week?
The casting for the Magnificent Seven reboot is now Ethan Hawke will be rejoining his Training Day partners, as to say.
Oh, here we go. So Denzel's in this.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Ethan Hawke rides in for the Magnificent Seven. Although the new version of the Magnificent Seven was feeling more like an Equalizer reunion with Antoine Fuqua directing, Denzel Washington starring, and one of the film's co-stars, Haley Bennett, aboard, we now have a Training Day trifecta instead. Ethan Hawke has signed on to share the screen with his old sparring partner, Washington. Chris Pratt is also set for the film, which will once more see a small town, in this case built around a gold mine, threatened by a ruthless baron and his gang of thugs. When they kill several people in their attempt to take the place over, a young widow, played by Bennett, hires a bounty hunter, played by Denzel, to dispatch the bad guys, supplying him with the necessary funds to hire 6 gunmen to help him in his mission, which is where Pratt and others could come into play.
At what point is this set? Like early 1800s or something?
It's going to be a Western, so yeah, 1800s.
Okay, I hate like to point out the obvious here.
Yeah, a real Western.
Not like a Western that you think is like Lawless or...
Lawless is a Western, I don't care.
Yeah, you're...
I think we're going to get to the point where we're going to get past that, and... Yes, you know, it was a bad time, but are we going to always hamper on the fact that there's an African-American in the 1800s? Or do you just kind of no-sell it because it's a Western, a Western movie, and you say, screw it, you know what I mean? I think they should overlook it. Denzel is a fantastic actor, and in my opinion, they shouldn't hamper on it. I am concerned about Westerns in this day and age. I don't think it's going to do well just because it's a Western. What do you guys think?
I think it'll do really well. Look at Django Unchained. That did fine. That was a Western.
That was.
That's a little different. It's a Quentin Tarantino fucking shoot 'em up movie. You can't compare that to like.
But this is an Antoine Fuqua.
The good, the bad, the ugly. Movie. You know what I mean?
This is an Antoine Fuqua shoot 'em up movie. And by the way, Denzel has a lot of star power, and so does Chris Pratt. My one question to Karp and the rest of the panel. I'm very familiar with The Magnificent Seven. The one thing I never got is that it's supposed to be about these. They're supposed to be overpowered, right? Because you're supposed to, underpowered, because you have all the bad guys, you know, showing up and you have these group of seven that will just the seven will, you know, will try to win the day. But every single time they bring these like seven all-star cast members, the old one had a Charles Bronson and, did it have Steve McQueen too? I think it did. It had all these like, and the guy who played Kojak, this all-star cast, this one does too. And whenever you see them, you're like, well, these bad guys don't have a freaking chance. And the whole point of the movie is that the bad guys are supposed to be scary.
Well, and just have a big name as a bad guy.
That's why, okay. Yeah, but have like a bunch. I always feel it should be the other way around. The bad guy should have all the big star people. Look, you know, like the Expendables?
Yeah.
They're always called upon, right? The first one, all you had versus them was like Stone Cold. That's not enough.
Stone Cold, you know? Eric Roberts.
Yeah, but like against
But the second one you had Van Damme, he was fucking roundhouse kicking.
Okay, the second one they probably yeah, but then versus like Chuck Norris, come on. Anyways, that's just my point. I always found like you should look at if the bad guys are supposed to.
You
want to
beef up the bad guy stable a bit.
Yeah, you definitely do. That's my point.
All right, put fucking Liam Neeson, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
Mr. T,
and Mr. T,
Roddy Piper.
Hold on a second. It's a WWE film, fucking Magnificent
Seven.
Last
time I checked, WWE Studios didn't have the rights to this.
Like Brodus Clay.
No, if it was a WWE film, I would say we'd have Lana in there too.
Yeah. Rusev. Okay, we're
a little bit off the movie top.
All right, Kebo, what do you got?
My topic was actually the same as Karp. I actually didn't read his beforehand, and well,
you want to give your two cents then?
Sure. I don't know. I love the like for. Not really considering the casting, but I love the concept of the Magnificent Seven. I remember when the TV show premiered on CBS in like the mid-90s. I loved it there, even though it was a bit cheesy. But it's kind of like, you know, the Expendables, like Will said, it's kind of like the Expendables in the West, where you have like seven guys taking on 50. And if you're a fan of an action movie. And I know this is not a typical action movie. How can't you love that? So I'm super hyped up for it.
I'm concerned of the whole Western thing. But yeah, you know, if they make it more modern, I mean, and having Denzel as the lead, it's more of a modern take on it. He's like, he's tops in my books. Chris Pratt is as hot as you can get. He's like 2013 Channing Tatum hotness level. I don't mean like good lookingness. I mean like... popularity.
You
I just
love
want to clarify
taste.
That.
You love the taste.
You just can't wait for him to be in Montreal this summer filming X-Men.
I don't want to say it, but he did go see Magic Mike 3 times.
What?
I'm just saying. Wow. Just saying.
Why are you throwing that kind of rumor on the fucking Twitterverse?
So now that Double XL is going to come out, is it going to be 6 times?
Yeah, 6 times the Tate. Yeah.
Do I finish 6 times in the same movie? That's the question. All right. Let's get the hell off this topic. We're going to talk. Anybody want to talk about MacGruber?
Yeah, MacGruber.
I actually awesome. Don't like that film. I watched the first one. I don't think it needs a sequel. The only good thing.
The only one?
What? Sorry? Yeah, the only one. Yeah. I didn't think it was great. I actually don't even think it did justice to the whole joke that he's supposed to be MacGyver, but stupid. Because he didn't do any of the... Because like I was expecting him to, like, I don't know, be stuck in, like, a cabin, and he's got just, like, a few, like, staples and some elastics, and he makes a tank out of it. You know what I mean? But we didn't get that. So, anyways.
It was an over-the-top SNL skit, and we've seen, you know, the SNL transitions. Not a lot do well. Wayne's World's, like, one of the only ones.
No, Night of Roxbury did okay.
Yeah. And Night of the... But apart from that, like,
yeah,
I can't...
it's not much.
I don't know, Coneheads.
Coneheads sucks.
But, dig it deep there, Heavy.
But you know what? I can tell without even watching it, it's a trash movie.
It's a trash movie.
Yeah, but you're anti this because you're a huge MacGyver fan. No,
but there is one good thing about it, though. I really liked seeing Val Kilmer again as the villain. That was a lot of fun.
No, I haven't seen it, but there's nothing good about it.
And at the end, he has his dick chopped off.
No, he doesn't.
No, well, that's the point. Don't his dick is...
Spoiler alert, man.
Did it shrink at the last second?
Hey, Will knows about cock, so he knows if it's cut off or not.
Spoiler alert.
Hey, Katie, you a fan of MacGruber?
I've seen the skits. They're better as skits than a whole movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so just leave it at that. It's like a thing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it or expand it or anything. Leave it as a skit.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, I'm going to talk about the Spider-Man stuff quickly, and then we got to move on. Okay, this article talks about five big things to expect from the Marvel reboot. Will, no origin story, thank God.
I know, thank God. We've seen enough of it for the past 10 years. And just on a side, I don't think we would need a Batman origin story either. But that's just you know, something else.
Yeah, it's not going to happen too due to his age in a movie. So
no, we're getting one. They just filmed.
Fuck off.
They filmed the scene of the Waynes dying. So the three scenes they filmed.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be like a flashback and not an actual full origin, from what I understand.
I fucking hope so. I mean, but and I'm a huge Batman mark. Believe me, I did a three-parter on fucking Batman last year. A huge fan, but like we've seen. I think everybody, like Lithuania, they know what the fuck happened to Batman's parents at this point. You don't have to go in depth on it. It's not necessary.
And you know what? Same with Spider-Man. And by the way, I really hate how the previous films were going about, like, it's the origin story you never saw before. And I'm like, you know what? Now I wish I didn't see it. So anyways, that's about it.
Kebbo, he's going to be in high school, apparently.
Yeah, sure. No, I don't remember. He wasn't in high school in the original one with Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, he was.
So, and then in the new ones, was he in, I guess, college?
No, he was high school.
He was in high school.
Oh, so, okay, so.
He's always in high school.
Oh, okay.
Here's the big one, though. He may fight Iron Man.
Well, they more or less have to if they're going to do Civil War.
Yeah, Civil War. He does that in Civil War.
Okay, I haven't read the comics.
Yeah. Maybe you should read some comics.
No, but that's the good thing. Like, by not reading it, we're going to see it fresh. Yeah, like, you're going to see Iron Man fight Spider-Man with no idea what's going on.
Okay. But I read Kingsman, and there's a lot different from Kingsman from the comic from the movie, and I still enjoy both on some level.
And I also bet that it will, like, Civil War has Thor as a clone. This will not be happening in the movie. Like, there's a lot of different things.
And I think the biggest one, Sinister Six is still coming, and together.
What do you mean together?
They're going to be all in the same movie.
Well, isn't that the point of Sinister Six?
Yeah, that's the point.
You don't get what I'm saying.
No, I don't. Go ahead.
It's going to be the full Sinister. It's not going to be like individual fucking, not just Electro, not fucking this guy.
But it was never supposed to be that.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point.
I think but this is good.
What?
No, but the next standalone they were talking about was going to be either Sinister Six or two members of the Sinister Six, and then the movie after that was going to be finally Sinister Six.
Can we get proper, like, I don't even care if it's Jamie Foxx, but just give me fucking Electro with the green and the yellow mask.
You want the starfish head, right?
You won't be
I want starfish.
That.
I don't want that blue fucking Blue Lagoon bullshit. What is that, Fox? Anyways.
Sorry.
All right. Anybody else want to comment on Spider-Man?
I like the idea that generally that, first of all, Marvel got it back, which is great. I'm hoping Sony doesn't have too much input in the end to fuck it up. And like you're saying, he's not going to be an Avenger right away. So we're also going to see the transition into what earns him into being an Avenger.
All right, let's get into the movie reviews of the week. All those who have seen movies say aye.
Aye.
Heavy. Speak, Heavy. Speak.
Is Heavy Set still there?
Is he? I don't know. I think he's just popped back on.
Oh.
Okay, cool. I'm guessing he's seen a movie. So, Carp, let's get your movie review, and I think Heavy Set's going to be on for about an hour. So,
I would see The Lazarus Effect.
Oh, I'm curious about this. Let's get your thoughts.
I enjoyed it. It's kind of like a Flatliners meets Event Horizon meets Lucy. Really enjoyable. I jumped a couple of times. Creepy dog moment. From what I remember, you jumped during the trailer last week because of that.
Yep.
All in all, your basic all-right horror movie. If you like Olivia Wilde or Dupla or Donald Glover, Definitely give this a shot. It lives up to a great classic horror movie stereotype, which I can't say without spoiling anything. Olivia Wilde did a great job as this, the lead antagonist, scary ass, crazy chick.
Psycho fucking zombie freak yeah, show.
Brought back from the dead with like brain activity, with the powers of Lucy and stuff. It for its all-star cast, though, it could have been a lot better, I guess I'd have to say. Definitely, though, Cheapy Tuesday on Netflix at some point. I highly suggest checking it out. For me, it's a 6.5 electrocuted Olivia Wilde out of 10.
Heavy set, what have you seen this week?
I've seen 5 movies.
Oh, shit. Okay. Let's go rapid fire. Go for it.
I'm going to preface this with a story. Very short. Basically, as everybody knows, I'm a truck driver. I was given a load that delivered in Kansas City on Monday. I get there Saturday night. Right down the road from where I was going to deliver, there was a casino with truck parking, with a theater. So I was like, oh, my day's already made up. Went in on Saturday night, seeing Kingsman. I'm not going to bore you. What everybody's saying about it, absolutely, absolutely 100% true. Amazing. Loved it. If I were going to rate it, I'm going to give it about a 9 out of 10. My personal review is if you can see this now, go see it right now. I was completely blown away by it since I don't know anything about the comics. I wouldn't blow it away. I loved it. And the thing that surprised me, because not getting to watch trailers, I didn't realize Samuel L. Jackson was a bad guy, and that caught me off guard because being Avengers made me think he was going to be a good guy. That's a different story. And then here's what I did for Sunday. I went and seen 4 movies in a row, and I only paid for one of them. So starting off with the first one, there was SpongeBob SquarePants 2 in 3D, so at least they got a good amount of my money. I enjoyed it. It's basically, if you've cartooned at any point, there's always points about it and humor about it that kind of goes over kids' heads a little bit and you appreciate more as an adult. I loved it for that aspect of it. And also, I went because I hadn't seen a 3D movie in a while and I was just kind of like, you know what? This is the only one out. I don't mind seeing this. If I'm going to rate it, I'm going to rate it about a 7 or 8. If you could see this, maybe rent it. It depends on how much you love SpongeBob, but this is not a movie that you really need to run out and see. Second movie I seen on Sunday, Hot Tub Time Machine 2, and that was already covered, I think it was last week or the week before. If you like the first one, you'll like the second one. I think the end is my favorite, because I think of the whole movie, they're just really kind of doing a balance of a normal comedy movie and a parody movie, to where they're not really making fun of time things that are related to time travel, but they're not really taking their concept 100% serious. So if you like the first one, you like the second one, rent it. You don't really have to go out and see it.
They're going to take it more than 2%. It's Hot Tub fucking Time Machine. Where's the seriousness of that at all?
Well, what I'm talking about is like how comedies are, where they're trying to be original. This is right in the middle of trying to be original and kind of like poking fun at time travel stuff, because they do kind of do the whole Back to the Future paradox timeline that if you've seen Back to the Future, you know this is our timeline and we're in this alternate universe, blah, blah, blah. They kind of poke fun at that a little bit. They do the same actual drawing, but they do it in their own way, and they poke fun at a lot of other stuff. But if you like the first one, you like the second one. I think I rate it about a 6 or 7, not really high, but it's not terrible.
Okay.
Next up was Focus. Now, I was the only one last week that said I wanted to go see this, so I was like, fuck it, this is a movie I need to go see.
Yeah.
Of all the movies I've seen over the weekend, my second favorite behind Kingsman, flat out, I say go see it. As soon as you can, not necessarily a theater
release. Cheapy Tuesday or full price?
I think Cheapy Tuesday would be fine. At full price, it just depends on how you're going to go into it. I didn't know what to expect from this movie. You just know that he's a thief and all this stuff, and he's helping her. A lot that I caught from, that I remember from any time seeing the trailer, was seen early in the movie. And there's actually a time jump like by 3 years. And it goes into a different story. There's nice little twists and turns that you don't exactly see coming. And that's one reason why I liked it so much. Because as a wrestling fan, I'm sitting there trying to analyze, like, okay, what's next? Or is this a build up to this? What's exactly going on? Without getting into anything, but it's just there's things that you're expecting it's going one way, but actually it's not. And that's throughout the whole movie up until the end. I rate this one an 8. Out of 10, like I said, I'd go see it in the theater right now. If you can do a Cheapy Tuesday, or you find a theater that has it where it's really cheap for maybe a matinee or just final run where it's a couple bucks, I'd go see that. I don't think you'd be disappointed. And the final movie I've seen, which I don't think anybody's reviewed it here, and I wouldn't be surprised exactly why, but American Sniper.
Pretty sure I did.
I couldn't remember, but from an American's point of view, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I understand some of the gung-ho American stuff. I'm trying to dig into more of Chris Kyle's background because there's stuff obviously in his book that's not exactly covered because he just got sued by Jesse Ventura, and Jesse Ventura made $2 million off of it, and fuck you, Jesse Ventura, you're not getting any of my money because I didn't pay for that movie. So I'm trying to figure out like a lot of the story stuff. It's very pro, not gonna say very pro-American. You could see there's flaws and stuff in what he is. I think it shows you really what it's like to be in war.
Let's play a quick clip from it. I think it's gonna be very relevant.
If there's a need for a rescue mission, when the world is threatened, when the world needs help, it calls on America. So I know who's asked to kick.
That was actually my favorite part of the movie. But if you're not American, I understand why you wouldn't want to see this. I rated this as a movie about a 7 out of 10. You don't really need to run out and see it. Maybe a rental, maybe even a cheapy Tuesday. I think it was pretty long, too. I think of all the movies I've seen, it was the only one that exceeded 2 hours. But like I said, I enjoyed it, and that was all my movies. And I did not go see 50 Shades of Grey. I almost wanted, because I wasn't paying for movies, I was like, I could. Then I'm like, no, fuck no.
All right, let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. Wele, wele, wele. Let's get the numbers for this week.
All right, so the number one this week was Focus with $18 million. It's first week. Did you guys expect seeing that?
That's way low for a Will Smith property. He averages around 60.
I think it's his second lowest ever behind the 7 pounds or seven rounds or whatever.
7 pounds.
Well, Ali did pretty bad too.
Oh, by the way, guys, one thing, I don't know if you knew this. This is the first time that you actually have a main relationship centered around a black guy and a white woman in American cinema.
Really?
Where it's, I'm not done. Sorry. Where the point of the film is not that they're, that it's a black guy and a white woman. Okay. Sorry. You understand what I mean?
I thought Denzel's been in a movie with a white woman lead, though.
No, it was with Julia Roberts, but they never had sex or anything like that. It was purely professional. Also, in Training Day, he was with Eva Mendes, just like Will Smith was in Eva Mendes in Hitch. So usually they find ways of like using like Latinas.
He was with or he was in? Because you said he was in Eva Mendes.
He was.
That's different.
He was. But in any case, what I'm trying to say is that it seems like usually they prefer putting a Latina woman next to a black guy instead of a white woman, which has gotten a lot of controversy. But this film finally has, you know, a full-fledged interracial.
So they put him with a 16-year-old, so that's even better.
Anyways, there you go. That's the budget is $50 million, so I don't know if it's going to make it back.
So the question, I'm going to throw it to the panel quickly. Start with Katie. Is Will Smith dead as the lead actor?
I wouldn't say he was dead, but I would say his star power is diminished somewhat. I mean, his recent movies lately haven't been as good as in the past. So I think he's slowly getting down there. But, you know, he could come out maybe with another action. I think action is his forte, really.
Yeah.
Doing those kinds of movies.
Bad Boys 3, I think, is in the works. So that could save him.
Yeah. By the way, I was going to say, you were saying like 7 pounds. Didn't After Earth. Didn't that make even worse?
Debut would have been $18 in the box.
I think they consider him the lead in that movie. I think it's his fucking weird ass Scientology.
His son the main part in that movie.
No, that, it actually,
but the advertising was centered around Will Smith.
No, but it actually opened with $27 million.
Oh, okay. That's not
wasn't the budget like a billion
for
that?
It was $130 million.
Wow. Okay. Heavy, is he dead as a lead?
I think it's just this movie didn't have a lot of hype or anything behind it. I've talked to separate people, and like what I'd said in the movies I had seen over the weekend, and they were like, what's Focus? Literally, this is how I explained it to them. Will Smith. They're like, oh, okay. Like, they seen Will Smith, but for some reason, I think maybe it's the trailers or the marketing, it didn't connect. But as soon as I just said Will Smith, they go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you might be right on that marketing thing. And I believe Will Smith even argued that the marketing was bad for this. Kev, what do you think?
I kind of agree with the other people. He's not dead, but he's not nearly the guaranteed box office draw that he was. I think he had like 8 or 9 massive hits in a row, like at least 100 million, usually a lot more. But I don't know if it's kind of the pushback for him pushing his kids too much. I don't know if his movie choices haven't been as good. I don't know if it's he's not making, I guess, popcorn flicks as much, like Men in Black, stuff like that. But I think the mega, mega, mega box office Will Smith is gone.
Until Bad Boys 3.
Yeah,
but I will.
Or Suicide Squad.
I read that it's not just him. It's the idea that star power itself is gone. In a study looking at what attracts people to a film, actors was not up there at all. Number one was the trailer. Number two was story. So I guess franchises now lead the way. Look at last year. I don't think that Mark Wahlberg is the reason why Transformers did so well. I think Optimus Prime is a bigger star than Mark Wahlberg is now. Just saying that. No, but seriously, Spider-Man's a bigger star than Will Smith. Well, wait, not Spider-Man. Iron Man is a bigger star than Will Smith right now. Not Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man.
But the thing is, there was a point where you can put Will Smith in almost anything and it would be a hit.
But that was before the superhero era.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
All right, well, what's number two?
Number two is Kingsman, The Secret Service, which made $11.8 million, running it up to $85.8 million.
Great.
So what'd you think? What film would it remind you of, Old School?
To me, it reminds me of Greek Wedding. It's the Greek Wedding of 2050. And I remember I used to work at the cinema when it was running. And it always played in the smallest cinema and would always almost sell out. And this is for like 8-9 weeks on. And it did well because of word of mouth. And I think word of mouth is going to be the greatest thing for this, because I think the initial trailer cost them a lot of money because they had to scale a lot back, because I'm sure a lot of people didn't see the Red Band trailer, would have done it more justice. So word of mouth is helping this movie. I think it's going to make a lot more money. It's one of those. It was like Hangover as well. Hangover had a lot of good word of mouth and stayed in the theaters for like 2 months. So I think it's going to go the same route, make a ton of money.
All right. So number three is SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, that made $10 million, rounding it up to a giant total gross of $139.9 million. So that's huge. And it's on a $74 million budget. So yeah, insane. Number four is 50 Shades of Grey. And
dropping off big, man.
Big time. But you know what? Yeah, $10 million, but still, look, think about it this way. It's up a total gross of $147 million on a $40 million budget. Excuse me?
Check the worldwide?
I didn't check
worldwide. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Worldwide.
It's got a total worldwide of $486.
That's insane.
A lot of horny women in Europe, man. A lot of massive horny women.
Well, you know what? I want to know how many of those people are disappointed. You know what I mean? Because, like, this... does this mean that they're going to make the other films that's going to have the same reception?
No, I think Karp said it best. Last week is if you're a billionaire, it's okay to fucking do BDSM.
Yeah, BDSM. But if you're if you live in a trailer park, it's
you're going to jail. That's it.
If you're Joe Schmo, nobody cares. No, I know.
Like, you own a helicopter, you can do whatever the fuck
you want. Everybody's like, oh, it's so romantic. He ties her up and goes down on her for 3 hours. First of all, any dom on the planet would not do that. So that's wrong.
Speaking from experience? Or what?
No, I'm just speaking from what I've heard of the actual BDSM community. And that is not, yeah, no, I don't get it.
That would sound like someone who's more submissive, right?
I'm at a loss for words. I don't get it. And now the lead actor, Christian Grey, has actually dropped out of the next two films. So I'd really want to know.
Wait, his name's not Christian Grey.
What happened?
The guy who played Christian Grey. Apparently his wife wasn't happy, so he.
That's amazing.
If everybody can,
why don't you do that to me at home?
Okay, so number five is Lazarus Effect in its very first week, also at $10 million, like the previous two, and that's pretty much it. Look, the budget's only $3.3 million, so they're fine. They're laughing their way to the bank, anyways. Anybody want to say anything else?
Like I said. Check it out on Cheapy Tuesday if you enjoy any part of Flatliners or Event Horizon.
And they are. I like Event Horizon. Do they do the part with the pencil through the paper?
No, but there's some scary parts. I actually jumped a couple of
times. By the way, I don't know if you're like me, Carp, but if you watched Interstellar, they pull the Event Horizon pencil through paper. Anyway,
yeah.
That was
funny. Yeah. Oh, well, we're going to bend space.
Yeah, they quote Event Horizon of all movies. Okay.
You want to see what I can do with this pencil?
Okay, so
no,
number
six. Now I got these scars.
Yeah. Number six is a movie about the guy who did Family Guy, McFarland, USA.
No, it's not.
It's a terrible joke.
It's about a bunch of Mexicans running. It's a feel-good story with minorities, fish out of water. But if you can recycle this 1,000 times and it still makes money.
Yeah. Well, look, it's doing fine. It made $7 million this week. A total gross of $22 million. I don't think the budget was super high. It's not listed, but I would doubt it's a high budget.
It's going to do well in the home. It'll do well in the home market. It's going to make.
Speaking of movies that make money, number seven is American Sniper. It's a modest $7 million this week, but that's adding to the total gross of $330 million. However, how is the international on this film? I'm guessing not high.
Made about $80 worldwide.
Yeah, that's what happens.
I heard it really bombed in the Middle East.
That's terrible. Number eight is a film that my brother had to go watch with his girlfriend last weekend called The Duff. That made $6 million, bring it to a total of $19 million.
You're the best, aren't you?
It's not great. I did not hear good things about this movie. Number nine is a film that is released on DVD, I believe. That's the weird. I watch on DVD.
How did Duff cost 20? Oh, no. Oh, okay. It only costs eight. Okay.
Only costs eight. It's not a big deal. Okay. Number nine is a film that I highly recommend called Still Alice with Julianne Moore, the movie that she won Best Actress for. I liked it a lot. I recommend it. It made $2 million, bringing it to a total of $11 million. But it was on a budget of $5 million, so it's all good. And number 10 is Heavy's new favorite movie, Hot Tub Time Machine 2. And it made $2 million. Bring it to
I'm guessing you don't listen to this podcast because Carp pretty much ejaculated because he was so excited about this movie.
Shotgun to the dick.
By the way, I
shotgun
I don't
to
like...
the dick equals a 60% drop.
Still, $10 million made, $14 million budget. Yeah. It's going to make his money back.
Now, even though we rounded out the top 10, I would love to just add the 11th place, which is Jupiter Ascending, which made $2 million. Making it $43 million total of the nice modest budget of $176 million.
I said this last week after Cloud Atlas, then this, the Wachowskis are finished.
But Carp, I think that's what happens when only half your team is male.
All right, we got to keep moving on here. Two movies coming out this week. First one is Unfinished Business. Let's play the trailer and get our thoughts.
I just landed a huge deal for you, and then you tell me I'm going to take 5% less this year?
You are replaceable.
You say that kind of stuff a lot, and that's why Brian Peters wrote you're a jackass on your parking curb.
What the hell, Dan?
That was 1 year ago. The next day, I started my own company.
I only have two employees. One's too old, and one's too young.
I've never been on a business trip before. I'm pretty jacked.
Can you not say your whole name today? Because the client can lose focus.
Hello, I'm Mike Pancake.
What was your last name?
Pancake.
Like breakfast.
It's Greek.
It's delicious.
Yum.
The good news is we nailed a big deal and we're traveling to Germany to shake on it.
Hey, Dan.
You gotta be kidding me.
This deal may not be done.
Dan, this is Chuck Portnoy. You know, don't you?
Those pants are so tight. Is that a crease?
No, I don't have a crease, thank you.
Slit?
No.
There's space.
There is no space.
There's actually space. It's alarming.
You're telling me we're bankrupt?
If we don't close this deal.
Well, you're the little guy taking on the big guy.
You're going to go up against me and Dynamic Systems.
We're going to be hard to beat. The first rule is show the client a good time.
Let's party, Apex. All we do is party,
party, and get high right now. Snoop Lion, probably time to pass that.
Just do it, throw it. What happened?
The second rule.
How you doing? I'm here for a meeting.
Forget all the other rules.
Okay, Dan?
I'm not crying. That's just poison in my eyes.
If we close this deal, I want to make love to a woman. Wheelbarrow position.
How is it a wheelbarrow?
One person's legs is being held up.
Does that feel good?
No.
Maybe we should just try to do it normal. Maybe put me down when you get a chance.
Losing confidence in the team.
Unfinished Business.
I'm next on the upgrade list.
All right. And I can even hear it, like, when certain words were cut. So my guess is it's a lot raunchier than this trailer is doing justice to. But it's not enticing me. The story's weak, even for a Vince Vaughn movie. So it's definitely a nay for me. Katie, yay or nay?
I like Vince Vaughn. I think he's good at doing comedy. And I think he's underrated at drama. But this, it's not really appealing. I say nay.
Heavy set.
I'm a yay on this, but it's more or less on the end of a cheapy Tuesday or sneaking into a movie theater, watch it for free.
Kembo Trek.
What? Don't you dare.
It's Kembo Vamp.
It's Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Will.
Nay.
Carp.
I'm going to check out the Red Band trailer. Maybe that'll sell me as a cheapy Tuesday, but as of now, it's a nay.
Okay, we got one more on the list. This is District 9-2 called Chappie. Let's play Get Our Thoughts.
I brought you into this world. A machine that can think and feel.
Come here, little buddy.
That's a watch.
Watch?
It's like a child. It has to learn.
Chappie.
Anything you want to do in your life, you can do. Write poetry, have original ideas.
Wow.
People are always fearful of something they don't understand.
The problem with artificial intelligence is it's way too unpredictable.
You know what's a black sheep?
No.
It's like when you're different to everyone else.
So much more than I could ever imagine.
We're gonna make you cool and tough.
Don't laugh, I'm being cool. This robot is gonna be removed.
It's just a kid.
It could be the next step in evolution.
I am consciousness. I am alive. I am Chappie.
This is Chappie. You know, we've seen this story hashed a couple of times. This is not the first time this type of movie has been released. Short Circuit.
Well, is, AI artificial intelligence.
AI Short Circuit, kind of E.T.-ish, but for robots. It's a yay for me. I actually really like District 9, so I think it's that same type of story. I love the fact that they're kind of throwing the artificial intelligent thing in. It's you know, something that's going to be an important subject in about, you know, 10, 20 years. So it's something to consider. And Hugh Jackman looks really good as the antagonist in this. So it's a yay for me. Katie, your name.
Yeah, I agree. I think it looks very interesting. I mean, like you said, we've seen these type of roles before. And, you know, I think it's going to be like probably maybe this generation sort of E.T. meets Short Circuit kind of thing. I like it. I say a nit too.
Yeah, it looks like a feel-good movie too. Kev, your name.
I'm on the fence about it. I don't know. Maybe a cheapy Tuesday for me.
Cheapy Tuesday, yay for you, Will.
I think it looks like sappy garbage. I'm not watching it.
Carp.
Oh, I'm definitely a yay for this. I'm a fan of Blomkamp, so I really enjoy District 9. I like Elysium, so I'm going to check out Chappie for sure.
Input. I'm a yay on this one. Actually, when I first seen the trailer over the weekend, that one of the movies, I thought this was going to be the reboot for Short Circuit. And then when it was something else, I was
that's
like,
awesome.
Oh, that sucked. But yeah, this is yay for me.
Okay. All right, guys. So the format's going to be, we're going to do the feedback on a separate episode, and that's going to be coming out on Sunday. So we're going to close the show for Thursday, get our plugs and final thoughts. We'll start with Katie.
Well, I like being on here. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. If I could come on again, it'd be great. I like
done. Being- done and done. We need more. We need more women on
the first American female. So yep. Let's keep it going. Why not?
Anything you want to plug? See Satire. Actually, no, you're on WrestleCast.
Yeah, WrestleCast. I'll be on tonight with Heavy. And keep a listen. It'll be fun.
All right. Yeah, we're going to have you on next week for sure. Kembo Trek.
I got nothing.
You might want to suggest if anybody in Montreal is looking for an accountant.
No, I'm good.
Since you're a jobless bum like me.
Oh, he's all good. Okay, jobless bum. What do you want to plug?
On Twitter, Killer Carpe Diem. Hopefully somebody's weak-ass job or immune system will be healthy at some point. We'll be able to record our other show. And as always, StableWars.com, we have the TNA Stable Wars season starting, as well as, I believe, if you are currently in the WWE Stable Wars season, the trade window is open until the end of this week.
Yeah, and my stable is coming back, Carp.
What is your stable?
I believe the full title is Liam Neeson's cock is the size of a water bottle flaccid.
Will, are you on Stable Wars as Awesome Dong and the penises of Azkaban?
How'd you know?
Because there's a team called Awesome Dong and the penises of Azkaban.
That's fucking
those are
awesome.
My two big teams.
He was talking about changing it to John Hancock.
By the way, I love that name. It's awesome.
All right. Heavy Set, plugs, final thoughts.
Well, a part of this one network, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Trending Topics Network.
Never heard of it.
Maybe they have a new website up that's not really new, but it still posts new shows.
I heard it's brand new.
Brand new? Still?
Brand new 2 years in.
I've been promising an episode of Anything Goes. I have it recorded. It's getting down to edit it. And since it's not dated material, I could put it out in 2 months and it'll still be fine, but I need to get it up there soon. So hopefully be on the lookout for that.
All right. So did I miss anybody?
Yeah, me.
Oh, hey, comic books for the win. What do you got?
Okay, so check out comicbooksftw.com for a bunch of reviews on comic books and cosplay interviews. Also, if anybody are Transformers fans, I am now a news respondent on Cybertron.com, SCIBertron.com, and you can also check out the articles I write there.
All right.
Hold on. I thought he was going to say that he just changed his username to Optimus Prime, and at CarsTheBots.com, you could have an avatar of yourself morphed to be a Transformer, but hey.
What?
Now, according to God, Transformers are not a plight on man.
You're totally a slight against God.
That's awesome. Thank you, Clerks 2. All right, so for Carp, Katie the First Lady, Will, Heavyset, Kebo Trek, this is Old School. Thank you very much.
Bye.
From the studio who's casually redefined the word trilogy comes the Hunger Games like you've never seen them before. Hunger Gameless. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. If you thought half a short book wouldn't have enough plot to carry a 2-hour movie, you were right. Prepare for a slow build-up to a climax that won't come until you pay for the next one. Kind of like the last one. Full of obvious time filler, like repetition.
President Snow? President Snow, it's Katniss. President Snow, I need to speak with you. Are you there? President Snow, it's Katniss. Can you hear me? President Snow, it's Katniss. President Snow. President Snow.
A guy whose only purpose is to walk Katniss to her next scene.
President Corns requested to meet with you first. You want it in command. This way. This way, soldier. Let's go. Come with me.
And lots of nothing. And cut. After the last games, the Capitol is murdering everyone in sight. Now, with a chance to help stop the genocide, Katniss will do everything she can to not cooperate.
Katniss, don't make me do this!
And constantly bitch about her fake TV boyfriend, who she really didn't care about until he gave her a ball.
What about PETA? Is he alive? He left PETA. PETA was the one who was supposed to live!
Clearly there are more important things than PETA going on right now.
Even if we win this war, what happens to PETA?
PETA and the other tributes will be rescued at the earliest opportunity.
Sounds like exactly what PETA said when you all called him a traitor.
Please, PETA. Shut up about PETA.
He's gonna kill PETA. He's punishing PETA to punish me. He's gonna kill PETA.
Goodness, are you there?
PETA. This revolution is about everyone.
And you should have saved PETA.
That's delicious.
Ride along for a movie that boils down to each side making political attack ads about each other. As PETA appears on TV in a series of humiliating little outfits, while Katniss pouts her way through being the Mockingjay in scene after scene with all the excitement of actual film production.
People of Penham, we fight, we dare, we...
Does she know the line?
I know it. Okay, I know it. I'm sorry. She's warming up.
Okay. All right.
So cringe why one of the best supporting casts of all time is squandered on this paper-thin half a movie. The movie's biggest hunk is squandered in favor of the zombified manhood. I mean, I'm not gay, but would you rather make out with this or this? And one of the most talented young actresses is squandered in a role that has her put on a frumpy jumpsuit and make 2 hours worth of cry face. Don't worry, Kat. It'll all be over soon. Starring Peter Pocket, Team Jacob, 50 Shades of Grey, Elizabeth banks on this part to pay her mortgage, Woody Harrelson as himself, Skrillex, and none of us have seen your boobs. I mean, definitely not me. A friend of mine sent me a link, but I said, hey man, that is not okay. Privacy is an important issue. Not interested, thank you very much, because that's not cool. Where's PETA? Part 1.